Agenda item number 15, workshop and possible discussion on strategic plan and financial forecast for fiscal year 2018 by Jim Forte, Planning and Development Manager, and David Thompson, Chief Financial Officer.
I'm going to lead off a tag team that's going to include David Thompson and I. A year ago, we brought the strategic plan to the board to be reviewed and adopted. We mentioned this to you at your April meeting, provided you copies of the strategic plan that had been adopted in 2016. And what I'm going to do is walk you through some recommended changes that we made since the April meeting. The one change and the changes in this presentation are shown in red. We reordered four of our goals so that the first three goals are develop, manage, and protect, which is consistent with how those activities are ordered in our mission statement and consistent with how those activities are ordered in our enabling legislation. So that's why you'll see 1, 2, 3, and 4 are red. Here under developing groundwater, we added a project or a strategy related to the Brazos Alluvium. Earlier this fiscal year, we brought an interlocal agreement to you, and you approved it to allow us to participate with the Southern Trinity Groundwater Conservation District on a study that Baylor University is doing for them in terms of what's available in that aquifer. In goal two, we took out a specific reference to a very specific project that we had brought to you last July, and actually expanded the two strategies or into two strategies that more appropriately represent what we do with respect to water conservation with our customers and consistent with the regional and state water plans. And then goal three, the goal previously spoke primarily to in-stream flows, but as Tiffany's talked to you a couple of times over the last year or so, we participate with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department to add artificial habitat to reservoirs that have been affected by the drought and by drawdowns. And so we expanded this goal to go beyond just the in-stream flows and added reservoirs, and then added these two specific projects. One, the habitat project that I just mentioned, and the other is this involvement that we have with the endangered species and the invasive species. The balance of the strategic plan is identical to what we showed you in April, and identical to what the board adopted in July of 2016, and we'll be coming back. And I'm open to any questions or observations that you might have on the strategic plan, any changes that you'd suggest that we make. What we try to do is all the strategies, we have aligned them with some specific funding or activity in the budget that you're going to adopt so that what we're doing is carrying out our strategic plan through your adoption of the budget for 2018. And I'll be coming back with another item in which we'll have you formally adopt the strategic plan for 2018. And David Thompson.
Hello there. Back in April, I presented the preliminary budget for FY18, and since then we published the FY18 book that was sent out about 2 weeks ago. I will say that we probably invested, my staff and other people who contributed to the budget book, close to 2,000 hours. In addition to the book, we went on the road to several different areas in the basin and gave presentations on the financial statements and the new rates. Some of the board members attended, and we thank you for attending that. What I'd like to do now is just kind of walk through the numbers, and then later on I'll read a resolution to adopt it. The first is just taking a look at the revenue that we planned for 2018 of 62.7. A little over 50% of it is the water sales. The second largest is our cost reimbursable, and that's where BRA manages other people's facility, and the cost for those facilities is passed back through them by billing them back for it. Taking a look at the cost reimbursable pieces of it is 18.4. You'll see Brushy Creek. You have Temple Belton and the Williamson County Regional Raw Water Line. Taking a look at our expenses is $62 million for next year. Water supply is $35.4 million of it, which is a big chunk. And then the debt service is the other piece of it. And then here's your cost reimbursable that matches to the revenue we just showed you. Next is just a graphical look at our expenses and how we plan to spend it in FY 2018. And some of the assumptions that we have in there. For employees, we use $2.1 million for BRA-wide salary adjustment, and in part is tied to the employment cost index. The second is the 2.9 performance and incentive pay pool. That total is about 5%, and that's consistent with what we use year on year. Benefits was up 7.25, mainly to health insurance. And we're adding a net increase of 5 full-time equivalents. And the ongoing cost of the system operations permit, which is now approved, is being moved over to the O&M budget. This takes a look at the operating programs. And these operating programs are programs that are long-term studies, assessments, can be IT equipment replacement, software. Most of these programs don't lead to a capital project infrastructure build. Some of these programs are also covered by grants and other fundings, which I've asterisked up here. Overall, these are expensed and put into our system rate. Next takes a look at all the expenses per location. I have the last year's budget, and I have the projection that we have for it, and then basically what we budgeted for FY18. This includes not only the locations, but it also includes the debt service and as well as the operating programs I just discussed, coming down to a total expense of 43.6, which would be a key number in using and calculating our system rate. So how much water we have to sell is 626,000 acre feet. 59% of it, or 365 acre feet, is to our system rate holders. And with that, we come up with a calculation, which is the 43.6 I just discussed on the expenses. We back out the non-system revenues as other revenues as well. And we add back in the debt coverage reserve and other reserves to get down to a $27 million needed revenue for next year. Divided by the 365,000 acre feet, gets you down to the 74, which is a 2.8% increase from last year. Now, taking a look at the other rates and the changes in the rates, the second largest rate that we have that out there is our two-tier in the utilities. These are our very long-term contracts.
Dave, yes. Did you get much feedback from the customers during the meeting as to the price of water? Did you get any reaction? Did they say okay?
Yeah, we had no questions at all. Everybody seemed okay with it.
Yes, sir. Talk a little bit about the rate stabilization fund. Where does that come from, and how is it maintained?
It's part of our working capital reserves, and basically it's one of the funds that the board said is required policy, and it's used basically to help, you know, take out the spikes in the rates. It is a revenue item in mine for adjustment, since I don't include interruptible water and other things in it. So I use that to help maintain the rates stabilization through the periods out.
So how does that money get funded?
It's just part of our working capital. So when I get later on, I'll show you the buckets for it and where it comes from. But basically, it's just the cash that we have for our working capital at the end of the year. Any other questions? So taking a look at our capital improvements plan for next year, the plan is to spend $22.3 million. Basically, 60% of it will be for maintaining our infrastructure, with the other 40% for our new water sources. And this gives you a breakdown. As you can see, Allen's Creek and Trinity Groundwater Well are our two new water sources that we're going. And then our three reservoirs is the balance of the. And these are the major. There's programs within each one of these, but that just put them all together to give you the ideas by reserves, by reservoirs, as well as what the new water sources are. Next is looking at our current debt outstanding. The first part is the water supply system, which is the debt services included in the system rate. The second is the Williamson County Regional Raw Water Line, which is paid, the debt service on that is paid by the customer itself. But our total debt on the balance sheet is $90 million. Now, this just kind of walks through, getting back to your question as well, walks through the basically what the working capital works at. We projected 68.6, and this projection was done earlier in this year so we could finish the budget. And then it walks through the capital expenditures, whatever reserves that we have to add or subtract into it, coming down to the ending reserve balance of 43.8.
David, sure. What's the average cost on our debt?
My guess is about 4%. Okay. So the 43.8 million is what we're projecting at the end of the year to have as a working capital in our reserves. The 29.6 is the rate stabilization fund. We have a contingency fund of $5 million, which covers unanticipated, unbudgeted O&M expenses. Our working capital is basically in 90 days of our water supply O&M expenses. And our last one is our self-insurance, which is basically our risk expenses, such as could be casualty, could be workman's comp, anything else like that. These reserves are all established by the board back in 2005. Last is just a different cut of the working capital. It takes a look at the different lines of business, the water supply, and the cost reimbursable. But it still gives you, the other one was basically a breakdown of the capital projects. This looks at O&M expenses and the capital projects and what cost reimbursable is. Any questions on that? Okay. I want to go to the five-year financial forecast. The first thing I have is basically the assumptions on the revenue. Our rates change from about 3.1 to 3.4 during the five-year period. Non-system revenue is consistent with our current contracts. Grants increased by a five-year index rolling average. And interest income, the average rate of return is 0.65 to 0.8 during that period. Expenses. We use a historical five-year index rolling average. Debt service, we assume the existing debt's there, no refund, and we do have some potential of new debt in 2019 through 2022. And the capital project is consistent with our CIP plan. With that, here's the financials that came out with it. You can see we start borrowing in this forecast starting in 2019. And then here's the working capital reserve for that. Taking a look at the projection of the rates, we're going from 74 up to 84, 2022. The key here is our debt coverage is 1.3 is what's been established by the board. It is a little higher than the 1.3 out there. A lot has to do is the working capital at the end of the outer years. I've raised it up a little higher, causing the debt coverage to be a little higher on that. And this just takes an 11-year look, 6 years back, as opposed to 5 years forward. And we were at 62 here, going up to about 87. And during that 11-year period, we had about a 40% increase in the rates. That's all I had here.
Just real quickly, we're going to go over our long-range financial plan. David's forecast obviously goes out 5 years. We've got a pretty robust model that we acquired about 10 years ago that we take a number of the items that David talked about. We put project costs in. We look at different activities that we might be undertaking. Basis of the model, of course, is our contract portfolio. Dave talked about the two-tier contracts and how they extend out for quite a while. They don't expire until 2041. We do look at contracts as they expire in the near term. There's some over the next 3 to 5 years that are not system rate that we're looking at right now, making sure that when they renew, that we renew them at the most favorable conditions to the authority. And then there's a pretty large two utility contracts on the main stem that will be expiring in about 2032 timeframe that we'll be watching pretty closely. And those are two contracts with NRG and Luminant for plants that they have on the main stem. About $1 billion worth of capital spending over the next 50 years, and one of the adjustments that we made to this slide was consistent with what Matt Phillips was talking about earlier, and that we had formally burdened this with a number of projects that were included in the regional water plans that were assigned to BRA as a default. If there was no specific sponsor in a regional water plan, then the river authority for that region was assigned that obligation, and we had embedded that in our planning. But now that this piece of legislation is dropped, we've purified this to what we think are only the projects that we'll be undertaking. And this is the dashboard that comes out of our model. Operating expenses, again, we inflate those individually by a number of different indices. The ECI for salaries, we just don't use a flat CPI inflator. We look at chemicals and electricity, and we peg those back against producer price indexes for things like petroleum products and that type of thing. But it does produce a fairly nice curve. Down here, non-system revenue, and again, this assumes that as those non-system contracts expire, that they revert to the system rate. Borrowing right here is an anticipated Allen's Creek, for example, and just to exercise the model, we came out here, and in the 100-year anniversary of Possum Kingdom, we said, what if you had to replace that? And what it does, though, is that by using a combination of debt issuance and using this rate stabilization fund that we were talking about, you can see that we dispatch and rebuild our reserves as we go through to keep a very steady and stable system rate. And if you take that out 50 years, you can see that it's a pretty nice curve, consistent with what David was talking about a 2.8 to 3% annualized increase over time. A little bump every now and then, but actually pretty smooth. And that's the end of our presentation on the budget, and we, David and I, and I guess the entire staff is available to answer any questions you might have. Yes, sir.
I noticed that between 18 and 19, our rate stabilization fund decreases $26 million between the 2 years. Would it be fair to say, David, that's kind of a catch-all reserve? So when we have a capital project and that money's been in our working capital ready to be spent, that's where it's going.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's not doing anything to rates.
It's what we have left over after we've met every obligation that you've approved. It's the net income that flows down through the system.
Thank you.
Did you say on one of your slides there that the those long two-tier utility rates and the long-term other contracts, when they are renewed, will renew at system rate?
That's our expectation. It's board policy.
Okay.
Yes. Unfortunately, those two-tier contracts were entered into in 1991 and don't expire until 2041.
Oh, I guess I won't be here for that.
When they do expire, it'll be a pretty easy doing rate making because all our 99% of the water will be under the system rate. Yes, sir.
With the addition of new water availability into the system operating plan, I'd assume that any new applications for contracts or any negotiations would be at system rate.
That, yes, we have a standard contract that if you buy water from us, you buy it, take or pay at system rate.
Anything else?